Thank you so much for allowing our youth the opportunity to give leadership during worship this morning. It actually makes me a little emotional. This is one of the many ways that our church continues to support our youth ministry, to continue to live out the vision of this church, to be the loving light of Christ, connecting, transforming. I hope you know that you are making a difference in our youth's lives by allowing them to take the risk to not only lead and to possibly fail, and for that, they will be forever changed. A few announcements. If you've paid any attention, our church is always very busy. VBS registrations and Mission Week registrations are starting today, so you can find those out in Reed Hall after this service. Our annual plant sale for the preschool is in the gym through tomorrow. Also want to let you know that our Guatemala team, who is working in Guatemala this week, are safely in Guatemala at this time. So continue to pray for them as they serve and work this week. Our youth, the ones who are going to the Bahamas, we're leaving on June 4th. We are selling these lovely t-shirts that you will see this morning. They designed them. We are selling them in Reed Hall. So if you would like to support our teenagers going to serve in the Bahamas for 7 days, please head into Reed Hall to buy one of those after this service. And lastly, our very own Michael Williams is having a book signing this afternoon at 12:15 in McWhorter Hall. So please come back after the service this morning and support him and love on him and get the book signed by him if you haven't yet. Okay, this morning, our teenagers are sharing ways that they understand what it means to live out, "Peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, so I send you." We use Lectio Divina, which means divine reading or listening, to prayerfully discuss this passage a couple months ago in the Gospel of John to prepare for our worship experience. "Peace be with you" will be our focus today. Our liturgy, prayers, music, children's time, this entire service from beginning to end will all center on this idea that we have God's peace and that we get to share it with others. As we prepare to have our processional, we believe that one way to experience God's peace is to be present with each other. So we want to practice that right here and right now. We invite all of you to take a few moments to connect with the body of Christ that you're worshiping near today. Say hello, introduce yourself, and extend a greeting to anyone and everyone. The peace of Christ be with you.
Yeah. peace of Christ is here among us. The peace of Christ is beyond our understanding. The peace of Christ ignites our hearts in worship. The peace of Christ is here among us.
Let us confess our sins before God and each other, praying, Lord, where we have failed and to be loving, we ask for forgiveness. Where we have lacked in peace, we ask for your pardon. Where we have failed to display your Holy Spirit to our neighbor, we ask for greater mindfulness and empowerment to do so. For we long to serve you and to help the poor, marginalized, afflicted, and neglected. Ears to hear your people's cries, and hands to nurture and comfort them. Help us to be like your Son, Jesus Christ, in all that we think, say, and do, so that your light will shine through us, your body. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. This proves God's love for us. And Christ rose from the dead, bringing peace to all people through the Holy Spirit. This too proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen.
joys of the church is the baptism of children.
This morning, Kaylor Allen McCain and Sarah Montgomery McCain bring their daughters, Jill Inlow McCain and Ruth Benson McCain. And William Allen Reynolds and Jennifer Upshaw Reynolds bring their son, Walker Hammond Reynolds, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Sarah, Kaylor, Jen, and Will, I ask you, on the behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins?
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church, with Christ, has opened to all people of all ages, nations, and races? Sarah and Kaylor, will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Jen and Will, I ask you, on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil and power of this world, and repent of your sin? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to the church? Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include these children now before you in your care?
We will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround them with the community of love and forgiveness.
Amen.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus. Nurtured in the water of a womb, he was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and these children who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child? Walker Hammond, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Walker Hammond, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days. Amen. Name is given this child. Ruth Benson, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ruth Benson, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days. Amen.
what name is given this child? Jill Inlin, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born of water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days. Amen. If you'll follow it, Jack.
You lost it.
Will the congregation please stand and face these children? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sisters and brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Walker Hammond, Jill Enlow, and Ruth Benson to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. Let us pray together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel, John 20, 19-31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God. I would now like to invite any children to come join Emma here on the steps at the front for children's time.
Have y'all ever received an invitation, something special, like a birthday party or family gathering or a wedding? Yeah, me too. Well, I have a very special invitation with me today. Should I read what it says? It says, "Peace I give to you. Come and see that I am here and believe in me." Who do y'all think this is from? Yeah, that's right, it's from Jesus. In our gospel story today, Jesus invites all the disciples, including one named Thomas, to see Jesus and believe that God raised him. Jesus also invites the disciples to go and tell everyone about him so that they can believe too. Jesus knew that the disciples were very afraid after his death, and not all of the disciples believed Mary when she said that she had seen Jesus risen. But Jesus didn't mind and came to the disciples to show them that he had risen. But Thomas wasn't there, so Jesus came again to show Thomas. Jesus comes to us too again and again and invites us to believe, even when it is hard to believe, and to tell others about Jesus being alive and with us always. Jesus invites us every day with his love. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your son Jesus, who loves us and is always with us. Just as Jesus invites us to believe in him, help us to share Jesus with everyone we meet. Amen. And I have a special invitation for all of you. Here you go, it's for you.
Yeah, y'all can come up and get an invitation.
My name is Turner Johnson, and I'm a senior at Montgomery Bell Academy, and I have been a member at West End my entire life. There's never been a day in my life that I was not part of this West End family, and that means a lot to me. Even when I was 5 years old, and Will Hoffman and I head-on collision in the playground, I had the worst black eye of my life, and I assume it was the bloodiest nose of his life. Even then, I was part of this church. When we were planning out Youth Sunday, about a month ago in March, we read over John 20, verses 19 through 31, the verse you just heard, and a few things really stood out to me. First thing that stood out to me was, Jesus came and stood among them. Now I know this doesn't seem like a big deal, but when Jesus is present with his disciples, but the Son of God is standing there with his friends. Not even a week since Jesus' death, and he's back with his closest friends. Jesus chooses to be with the people he had the best relationships with, even after death. And Jesus tells his friends, "Peace be with you." And they have peace because they're all there together. One thing that I've found here in my time at West End is that the most important thing here is the relationships you have with the people you meet. West End has built me a foundation starting in preschool, continuing to now. Whenever I'm here, I have peace. I have found peace among the people I've met over my life and some of the most amazing experiences I've had. Some of my best memories of the church are seemingly meaningless conversations and free time I've spent with my friends, just like Jesus standing with his disciples. I feel like Jesus is here with me when I'm at West End, just hanging out with my friends and having a good time. The second thing I took from this passage in John is, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Jesus tells his disciples to go out into the world and do great things. Jesus wants his disciples to go and teach, connect with people, love unconditionally, and serve mankind. The foundation I have received here will allow me to do just as Jesus directed his disciples. I've learned from my time in Sunday school and youth group what it means to serve the community and use my skills to impact the world around me. I've learned to connect with people all over the world from mission work, both in Chicago and with Bahamas Methodist Habitat in the Bahamas. I've learned how to share my love and with the people around me when they need it the most. I've seen the love and passion that Emily and Dane bring to their work, and I've seen the positive effect that the two have had and on this church. And I hope that I can go out into the world and share that love that I have with people around me too. The third and final message from the passage of John that I took was, of course, peace be with you. Peace seems like such a hard thing to come by nowadays, at least for me. With graduation coming up, I know there's a lot of change happening in my life, and it's kind of stressful. My everyday routine will no longer exist, and everything is changing. I can find peace in knowing that hundreds of miles away, lifelong friends that I made at this church will be with me. And I know where the foundation of love and service in my life has come from. I'll be able to make connections and share the light of Christ, just like I was taught here. I will not always have peace in my life, but one thing is certain. I will have West End, and everything that I've learned here will help me to be the best person I can be. And that gives me peace. Thanks be to God.
Hi, my name is Janet Ann Horner, and I'm a senior at Harpeth Hall School. In the scripture we just heard, Thomas doubts Jesus. He says that he needs proof of Christ's return. It's easy for us to hear this story and think to ourselves, Thomas, what are you doing? He's right there. But realistically, we all have doubts at times. Faith is believing in something that you can't see, and we all question our faith at times. I feel like a person's faith is strongest when they doubt and question yet continue to believe. Like Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. At times we are put in uncomfortable situations, and that is when our faith is truly tested, how you act in those unfamiliar, scary scenarios. In seventh and eighth grade, I was a big volleyball player. I played for my middle school team and on a travel team and devoted every day after school and many weekends to practices and tournaments. And so when I came to Harpeth Hall in ninth grade, I was so excited to play for their team. I had gone to their volleyball camps and did extra practices over the summer to prepare for tryouts. Then I didn't make the team, and my best friend did, and I was crushed. Tryouts were a few months before the school year began, so I hadn't even had my first day of school there, and I already felt rejected. I felt like I wasn't wanted there, like I didn't belong. I began to question going to school there and was worried I had made the wrong choice. I completely shut out other activity options because I felt embarrassed and isolated. I didn't want to try something new. I didn't want to step outside my comfort zone. I just wanted to play the sport that I was already comfortable with and had friends doing. However, after a few months of letting the disappointment sink in, and with the urge of my parents, I decided to do something new, something unfamiliar. I decided to join the cross-country team, and I hated it at first. I came home the first week of practices crying to my parents because it was just so hard. But over time, I made friends, and it got easier and easier each day. It became more comfortable, more familiar. Then I decided to join the yearbook committee, and then I decided to try out for cheerleading, and doing uncomfortable things slowly became more comfortable. I was having doubts about my school, but I decided not to give up yet, to give it another try, and find something there that worked for me. Times of uncertainty and discomfort are when our faith is tested most. We all have doubts, we all have rough patches, but the fact that our faith and God's love for us doesn't stop after those times is a testament to his unconditional love and forgiveness. This scripture talks about how, as humans, we have doubts, yet God forgives us and loves us still. The other part to that is doing the same to others and forgiving them in their hard times. In the scripture, Jesus says to the disciples, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." It can be easy to forgive someone who is your friend, someone you like, someone that part of you wants to forgive. But it can be much more difficult to forgive someone who's not your friend, or even worse, someone who doesn't even ask for your forgiveness. It's easier to be on the receiving end of that forgiveness when we make mistakes, but a big part is treating others around you the same way. As Christians, we are taught to pass along to others the love that we are so graciously given from God. In his own words, love your neighbor as yourself. Peace be with all of you, and hopefully you can pass it along to others. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jack Hornsby, and I'm a senior at Montgomery Bell Academy. When I was told that I was speaking on the theme, Peace Be With You, my first thoughts were, this will be easy, everyone always talks about peace. However, I quickly realized that I had no idea what the phrase, Peace Be With You, actually meant. Usually, when I think of peace, it is in a political context regarding themes such as world peace, human relations, etc. Although, in the context of the Bible, and especially in Jesus' words in John 20, peace be with you is not related to this idea at all. After several minutes of thinking and researching what the phrase actually meant, it makes a lot more sense to me that what Jesus is talking about is more an inner peace rather than a violence-related peace. From my experience, inner peace in terms of spirituality comes with a bunch of twists and turns that will continue to challenge you throughout your life. Inner peace to me isn't synonymous with comfort, but more an openness to being challenged. The last 19 years have been far from easy, but once I accepted that I would never be able to understand everything about Christianity and how my relationship with God would always look, I've been at peace with myself. In fact, I've noticed that often those who feel like they have everything figured out are the least at peace because they feel like something is wrong anytime a challenge comes up or a question arises. Talking with friends from this church community, as well as friends with other churches, denominations, and religions, I've come to the conclusion that not only are there several denominations within the same religion, I believe that every single Christian has a different interpretation on their own religion. For example, I believe everyone puts more emphasis on some aspects of Christianity over others, meaning everyone has a different set of priorities when it comes to their faith. A small personal example would be in the way I read and interpret stories in the Bible. What I look for in the Bible, the New Testament especially, is the way in which Christians should treat others and be a generally good person like Jesus was. I know there are others who look for specific verses that speak to them, or they really enjoy the history of the Bible, but that's just not what gets to me. Everyone's faith is different, and that's okay. However, I feel like until you're able to accept that sometimes you're going to have questions or you're unable to answer or feel uncomfortable with your faith at times, it is very hard to achieve this inner peace. For example, I have friends who had been very enthusiastic Christians that went through a tough time with their faith, only to return having a stronger understanding of what they actually individually believe. To me, as well as to these friends, this is a stronger example of achieving inner peace than never being challenged at all spiritually. Personally, I continue to find myself asking questions that I don't immediately know the answer to, and I can constantly hear other opinions and perspectives that challenge my own. Thankfully, I've been able to grow up in a strong church community that is able to cater to all my needs and try to answer any questions that I might have. Not only this, but it's also given me the opportunity to hear several different perspectives and allow me to carve my own path in faith. If you can't tell the point I'm trying to make yet, my point is simply this. Facing challenges and questions spiritually is not a problem. In fact, it strengthens your own faith. Inner peace is the ability to understand this and embrace the challenges Christianity puts in front of us. With that, I'll leave with the words of Jesus, peace be with you.
Good morning. My name is Jack Ferrara. I'm a senior at Hume Fogg High School down the street. I'm going to start by talking about a cross-stitch sampler that's hanging both in my hallway at home and a bedroom at my grandmother's house in Kentucky. My mom knitted this sampler when she was younger, and it's been hanging for as long as I can remember in my grandmother's house. But when my parents got married, my great-grandmother, my dad's grandmother, gave them the exact same sampler, which has been hanging at my house outside of my bedroom for, as long as I can remember. So when Emily asked me to give this speech and gave me the passage from John and the phrase, peace be with you, as inspiration, I immediately began to define what peace means to me. And I kept coming back to this idea of just being content with your surroundings, being confident that you're taking the correct path in life and that everything you're doing is right. And when I came to that conclusion, I immediately again thought of this sampler that has the Bible verse from Proverbs that reads, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy paths. So I kind of take two things from this verse. One, from the first sentence that reads, again, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. We are not able to take on this world alone. Success and happiness and peace are only attainable with the involvement of other people, such as the community here at West End, but most importantly, with the involvement of God. Every person will encounter large amounts of adversity in life. Big life decisions, such as where we're going to college, unique struggles and conflicts that we all, and I know this because I do it myself, try to rationalize and control ourselves and deal with ourselves. It's what we are trained to do as humans. We spend, a lot of us, like the first 25 years of our life in school trying to acquire as much knowledge and skills and tools to be prepared for what we face in life, to understand what goes on in the world. But, a great example of this in action is the college search process. You see it all the time, transitional families with the whiteboards or the spreadsheets with the different schools, application deadlines, scholarship information, laying out everything you need to do to get into that school you want to go to or make sure you have, you make the right decision. We try to control and rein in that chaos that is deciding where you're going to spend the next 4 years of your life, but there comes a point in every such decision or time of adversity that we need to take a step back, recognize that peace is with us, that God is with us, and lean not on our own understanding, but rather trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. When we trust in the Lord and recognize His presence, every decision or moment of adversity becomes exponentially easier to handle. And that brings me to my next point to be made regarding this verse that comes from the second sentence. And always acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. So in every moment of adversity or large decision, there comes a point where the problem has been solved or the decision has been made. You come to some conclusion, and in that moment, it is easy and a lot of times warranted to be proud of what you have done and take the credit for solving a big problem or coming to some good conclusion. It isn't often that we recognize God in that moment of success and happiness, but it's important, you know, to give credit where credit is due and understand that we cannot do everything on our own. We cannot reap the benefits and rewards of our actions without first humbling ourselves in front of God and recognizing His role in our lives. Now, as I approach the end of high school and prepare to leave many of the communities that I've relied on my entire life, such as the youth group and the church here at West End, my school, my friends and family, I found myself trusting the Lord with more and more of my own decisions and responsibilities. For once, I feel as if I don't actually have my own understanding to lean on, and I'm really experiencing what it feels like to give my life up to God and, you know, control what I can control, but rely on Him to take care of the rest. So after thinking about this verse from Proverbs for an extended period of time and working hard to reflect that in my actions, I truly feel as if peace is with me as I move on to the next stage of my life. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Jackson Bryant, and I am a senior at the University School of Nashville. Throughout my time at West End, the most memorable instances when I've heard, "Peace be with you," is during an early or late service, and the congregation then gives a response, "And also with you." I'd never given "Peace be with you" much thought, and when I first learned that this was the theme of Youth Sunday, I racked my brain and tried to think about what the word peace means to me. When I think of peace, the image that first pops into my head is a large group of people of all races and backgrounds holding hands in a circle and singing. This mental image may seem corny or cliche, but it is what I feel most accurately defines the word. In John 20, when Jesus tells His disciples, "Peace be with you," He probably was not imagining His disciples holding hands in a circle and singing hymns, but rather His disciples having an internal feeling of tranquility that could guide them along their life journey. When I read and reread our scripture for today, I ultimately interpreted Jesus' exclamation as a random act of kindness, which we can all use in our lives. We all encounter those who are not as fortunate as many of us, or who are experiencing a rough time in life. This scripture reminds us that, like Jesus, it is our job to reach out and provide comfort and guidance to our neighbors. We can all make a difference in the life of someone who is in need. God calls upon us to respond to that call. This past summer, our youth group traveled to Trey, Tennessee, on a mission trip sponsored by the Appalachian Service Project, the purpose of which was to repair and upgrade the homes of families in need. On the first day of the mission trip, we drove to the houses of Dave and Patty, a brother and sister who have lived next door to each other for a long time. Once we unloaded all the equipment from the bus, four of us, including me, were assigned to build a new staircase for Miss Patty because her staircase at the time was decrepit and dangerous. The building process started off smoothly, and we worked together, and we worked quickly to dig deep holes and place the four posts in each of the holes. But we soon realized that the posts were uneven, so we had to dig up the posts and plant them back into the ground. After the posts were replaced in the correct width and distance apart, one of the Appalachian Service Project counselors reviewed the posts and thought that we should pour quickrete into the hole instead of the existing dirt surrounding the post, because quickrete would provide more stability. The stairs were supposed to take 2 days to build, but instead spent over the entire week. After having to start the building process over twice, Miss Patty never got upset that her stairs weren't finished or that we were taking too long, but rather provided us with positive support and always had a smile on her face. Building Miss Patty's stairs showed me that we can all make a difference in someone's life. In our busy lives, sometimes we forget that a simple, kind word or act can make a difference to someone else and brighten their day, which in return can brighten your day. This scripture reminds me that random acts of unplanned kindness may positively impact someone's day and remind them that someone in their life cares about them. We all go through changes, whether it be starting a job, starting a family, caring for a parent, or, like all of us, leaving the comfort of a home, friends, and a church we've known all of our lives to start the next chapter in our lives. We all need to remember, peace will be with us, and we know where to turn each day for encouragement, comfort, and love. Peace be with each of you. Go out and share Jesus' peace.
Hi, my name is Leo Spadafino, and I'm a senior at MLK Magnet. I came to West End a little bit later than most of the kids in the youth group here. For the first few years of my life, I attended services at Englewood UMC in East Nashville, but as I got older, fewer and fewer kids my age would come to anything at the church. Just before they had me, my parents had visited West End and seen what an amazing youth program we have to offer here. My mom wanted me to have a similar experience to what she had with a large youth group that went on mission trips and played church league basketball. WEUMC fit the bill perfectly, so I began coming to confirmation classes here in the sixth grade. At first, I felt a little bit out of place, as pretty much all the other kids in the class had gone to preschool and church here for most of their lives and already knew each other. However, they welcomed me as one of their own, and over the years, I've made some really quality friendships with the people in that class and in this youth group. A large group of these kids had gone to camp at a place called Lakeshore in Eva, Tennessee. My mom had also gone to this camp as a kid and introduced the idea of me going to an overnight camp there for a week, and after hearing that my friends from confirmation class would be going, I excitedly agreed to give it a try. That summer, I fell in love with the camp and all the people there, and ever since, I made it a priority to sign up for Lakeshore each summer before making any other summer plans. The combination of memorable worships and plenty of time to hang out with people that are fun-spirited and happy made each summer more memorable than the last. However, there is one special worship that I'll never forget. On the last night of camp during the summer following my eighth grade school year, the counselors gathered all the campers together around the fire pit. During the worship, a few counselors shredded a newspaper, approached the fire, removed the newspaper from their body, and cast them into the fire. They left behind all their past worries and emerged as new people, symbolic of the phoenix as it undergoes its rebirth. We were then given a marker and a slip of paper and instructed to imagine that we had also been reborn, choosing one message to convey to the others around us to base our new life around. I can't remember exactly what I wrote on my paper, but while walking around the fire and showing people my message and reading theirs, I remember seeing things as simple as, "You are loved and God made you beautiful." In that moment, after seeing the demonstration of the phoenix's rebirth and imagining that I also had been reborn. The messages that I was reading made me feel loved in what I feel to be its truest form. I became very emotional, and right then I felt at peace with the world. It's truly amazing how something so simple can have such a large effect on someone. There's something about being reborn that seems very healthy to me. Babies and children are typically associated with innocence and forgiveness. In being reborn, we all receive a second chance to love one another and forgive each other for our sins. In the scripture, Jesus was sent by the Father with the message, "Peace be with you," as he was resurrected from the dead with nail marks in his hands, and he challenged his disciples to go forth and spread the message. Today, I'd like to challenge each of you to imagine that you were reborn like the phoenix or resurrected like Jesus and given another chance to be loving and forgiving the way God has intended us to be. Take a second and think about this question. Now that you are reborn, what is your message?
An important part of worship is remembering the ways that God loves and cares for us and others, and the ways we are called to do the same. We do that by collectively affirming our faith. So please stand. Join me and our seniors in our confirmation affirmation of faith that we co-wrote in 2010. We believe in God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe in one God, creator of everything. We are created in God's image. God forgives all of our sins and loves us unconditionally. Jesus is the Son of God and the Messiah. Jesus is our teacher and Savior. Jesus suffered on the cross and died for our sins. We are thankful for this sacrifice and believe Jesus will come again. We believe the Holy Spirit is our God and is always with us. The Holy Spirit is our reason to have faith. We believe in welcoming all races, religions, and ages. Excluding anyone is an act of evil. We believe any act of evil, no matter how strong, will be forgiven. We believe worship, prayer, and confession are good ways to practice and strengthen our faith. Please be seated. We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad you are here, and we hope you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and in the North exit at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. You can look for their blue name tags. If you are a student, either undergraduate or graduate, you are invited to join the student community for lunch and faith discussions following the late worship service. They will gather in Reed Hall. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. We invite you to record your prayer requests there, indicating if they are to be shared or confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you've not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of the service. We ask for you to hold prayer in Dot Biasi, who is in the hospital at St. Thomas West. We celebrate the birth of Wren Michael Hatch, who was born on April 2nd to Anna and Dwayne Hatch. He is also welcomed by his big brother, Asher Hatch. We extend our sympathy to the family of Frances Edwards, who died Friday evening. She is mourned by her daughter, Erwin Fisher, son-in-law, Jeff Fisher, and granddaughters, Carolyn and Francie Fisher. A memorial service will be held for her on Friday, April 28th at 11:30 a.m. in our sanctuary, with visitation before in Reed Hall at 9 a.m.
Now let us prepare ourselves to enter into the presence of God in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. In the evening when the disciples meet, frightened behind locked doors, you come to them with words of peace, for wicked plots have failed, and the cruelty of the world has come to nothing, and the betrayal and the denial of friends has not prevailed. Life-giving God, we give you thanks, for Jesus has risen. He comes to us with words of peace. Come to us today, in government rooms where politicians meet, in city board rooms where executives plan, in courtrooms where lawyers debate. Come with words of peace. Come to us whenever we are afraid, whenever we are grieving. And God, come to us now as we pray in silence for those we care for and are worried about. Despite the strong and solid doors we lock to protect ourselves, to shut out the world, come to us with words of peace. This Eastertide, breathe on us again with your spirit, for you have overcome evil and wicked plots fail, and the cruelty of the world comes to nothing, and the betrayal and denial of friends do not prevail. Renew us in the power of your spirit, that we may open doors and go out into the world to bring words of peace to people we meet. Renew us in the power of your spirit, that we may have life in your name, and go wherever you send us, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us return to God, the giver of all good things, a portion of our abundance, for the sake of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom.
Thank you again for worshiping with us this morning. I pray that we have all been encouraged and will recognize when God is with us in all of our days. What a blessing it has been for myself, Emily, and several other adults who have helped our youth group put together music, prayer, sermons, and more. Thank you to this portion of Christ's body for supporting our youth and for allowing them to learn leadership in multiple ways. Now please receive this benediction.
Go in peace, knowing that as God sent Jesus, so he now sends us. God is in your past forgiving you, in your present loving you, and in your future calling you. Go in peace. Amen.